This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Yes, and I'm Ron Milk, producer and co-host. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and much more.
Your Valuable Home airs here Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 65 years. Check out TomAdamsWC.com or call 215-357-7000.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamut and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you. If you own rental real estate, this show's for you. Get educated from the pros. They have your back when it comes to improving your real estate. It's Your Valuable Home. Your Valuable Home.
All right, thank our listeners for coming back for another great show this week on Your Valuable Home right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I tell you, Ron, you and I talked about this before, and we've done so many shows over almost 7 years now being on the radio, but there was one aspect of a house that I believe we never talked about. And we have a customer coming up, longtime customer. We've done a bathroom. And when I was over there about a couple weeks ago, Ron, I was talking to Doug about his house. And it's one of his, I guess, his vacation house, as he calls it. But it's for our listeners, you're going to hear something that probably 99% of the people across America are probably not going to be used to. And it was very interesting to me on how a lifestyle is with a house. So, Doug, thanks for coming on Your Valuable Home and talking about your vacation property.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Doug, you listen to the show on a regular basis, don't you?
I listen to the show occasionally, but I do listen to 1210, mostly during the morning shows during the week with Zioli.
So tell us your story. What is it about your house that is so unusual? Is that in the woods, I heard, right?
It is in the woods. What's different about it, it's a completely off-the-grid home. So it's a log home. It's up a dirt road. There's no utilities. There's no running water. There's no electricity. I do generate electricity from a gasoline generator. Over the years, I've had to upgrade the generator. So now, as time has gone on, now I'm able to power an air conditioner to make the home more comfortable during the hot months like we're experiencing now. But it's a log home in the middle of the woods in central Pennsylvania, and you can look out the window and see elk and see bear and deer, and it's pretty neat. If you're into it, it's great. If you're not into it, it's probably sounds like a miserable experience.
Yeah, and then you can go inside, close the door, and stay away from the bear and the elk, right?
Sure. I mean, they really don't bother you, but they're out there, and you're in their backyard, and it's just nice to be out there and see them.
Did you build the house?
No, I did not build the house. So I was up visiting a friend who has a cabin, a little bit down the road, but I watched this cabin be built over the couple of years that it took for it to go up. And then I was up visiting the same friend one weekend, and there just happened to be a for sale sign out on the property. And, within a couple of days, everything was in motion for me to make the purchase of it. It was just, I was just kind of in the right place at the right time.
Now, what kind of time do you spend up there? Do you go up there on weekends? Do you go up for holidays? How do you do it?
It could be anything. I mean, basically, the way it's situated now, it's kind of been upgraded. I've had the property for about 15 years now. So now we have a propane refrigerator where we used to live out of coolers. But now, you know, coolers melt, or the, I should say the ice in the cooler melts, things in the cooler leak. So you're always having to deal with that. So probably about 7 or 8 years ago, upgraded to a propane refrigerator. So the refrigerator just runs off of propane. So I have propane tanks that get filled up by a local propane distributor out there. So basically, if as long as you have enough drinking water and, you know, you keep food in the refrigerator, you could stay up there, you know, for weeks or months on end if you wanted to. We do Thanksgiving up there every year, which is really nice to be kind of in the woods, in a log cabin, having, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. So that's always a special weekend for us.
Interesting. Yeah. How big is the place?
The footprint is 28 by 32. So it's a good sized cabin. It's a two story. So there's like a loft. So there's a living level and then a loft level.
And you have, is there a road that goes back there, or is it you're on a dirt road?
Yeah.
It's a dirt road. So it's about 8 miles up a dirt road. So once you get off of a paved road, then from there, it's all dirt roads all the way up. So in the wintertime, you pretty much need to get around with, you know, with chains on your tires, you know, 4x4 and chains on all four tires.
I'm sure. Yeah. Doug, do you have a fire?
Let's talk.
It is. It's a wood stove. So that was one of the first things that got upgraded. So there's also a small wall propane heater that, you know, it works, but I don't really use it because, you know, we're in the woods. We have, you know, all the wood that we could have at our disposal. So one of the first things I did when I purchased the property was put in a wood stove, and we basically it depends upon how often you're up there. You know, some years you're not up there that often. You might go through a quarter or two of wood. And then if there's, you know, other years where you're up there a lot more, you might go through, you know, 3, 4, 5 cords. So typically I try to keep about 6 or 7 cords of wood split going into the winter.
Hmm. And are you a hunter too? Or is anybody in your family a hunter?
Yes. So that's really what it is. It's like a, you know, call it like a hunting lodge or a hunting and fishing lodge. So if it's hunting season, so we'll be up there for, you know, deer season, turkey season. Then in the spring, we go fly fishing and really just try and make the most out of all the outdoors in the beautiful state of Pennsylvania.
I'll tell you, that's really a forgotten element in American society today. People being able to get away and get off the grid. And I would imagine cell phone service is probably spotty up there, right?
Not at all. I'm able to have full service and with a hotspot. I work remote, so I've been working out of my home remotely for about 25 years. So with a cell phone and a hotspot, I could work just like I'm sitting in my living room or sitting in a hotel or, you know, any place that has a Wi-Fi connection.
What's the nearest sizable town?
Probably it's about an hour north, a little more than about that than from State College.
Oh, an hour north.
Yeah.
So you're almost out of Pennsylvania then, right?
No, just up on the other side of 80.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a really fascinating area up there. And I'm sure it's an experience that most people who are listening to the show probably have never had. You know, maybe somebody's been to the Poconos or whatever, but this is far beyond that, right?
Yeah. So it's about, like I said, it's about, you know, 2 hours west of the Poconos, maybe a little bit more than 2 hours west of the Poconos. But it's in an area of Pennsylvania called the Pennsylvania Wilds. So it's just a really beautiful part of the state, and kind of everything that you would want for, you know, outdoor activities is right at your fingertips out there. You know, as soon as you step foot out of the house, you are in the forest. You are in, you know, what people, you know, might have to drive hours for, you know, for a day trip. You know, when you're there, you're in the middle of it as soon as you get there.
Yeah, and you're not too far from the New York state border either. What would be the state? What would be the town above you in New York?
You know, I'm not sure, but I guess if I had a drive, it's probably a three-hour drive from Rochester. So it's kind of like straight down from Rochester, and
yeah, so it's up there. And in the wintertime, you probably get lake effect snow too, don't you?
Occasionally, although this year we got more snow in May than we did in January. I was out turkey hunting one morning in May, and I think it was 15 degrees or 20 degrees. It was brutally cold, which you couldn't imagine. I mean, I just, you know, it's the coldest I've ever felt in May. But Yeah, there's times where they've called for flurries and we've gotten 3 feet of snow. And then, you know, there's other winters like this one where there's hardly any snow at all until the springtime. And then it didn't stop snowing in the springtime.
This was a typically or an untypically cold spring this past spring, which I hope doesn't come back anytime soon. Because I didn't like even down here. I mean, it was cold in May and rainy.
Yep.
Yeah, Ron, I got one question for Dougie that I found very fascinating was how he gets water to his house. So, Doug, I mean, Ron's got to love this idea. So tell us how you do it.
All right. So as I mentioned, it's, you know, there's I don't have a well, so I don't have any access to physical water on the property. There's long-term plans to punch a hole for a well, but that's, you know, quite expensive, and I'm not quite there yet. So what I've been doing for the past 15 years is, you know, I spent, you know, my younger years growing up, I was a fisherman. So I spent a lot of years working on fishing boats and being around boats. So I'm a little familiar with 12 volt type electricity. And I rigged up a bilge pump from a boat to a cigarette lighter plug. And I plug that into my cigarette lighter in my 4x4 truck. And I drive that down to a river at the bottom of the mountain. And I'll throw the bilge pump into the little stream down there, which we also, you know, catch native trout out of on fly rods when we're down there as well. So it's a really neat little stream. But we'll pull the water out with a 12 volt bilge pump, and we'll fill up 5 gallon plastic jugs, like the water jugs that you would buy at the store. We fill those up probably, you know, depending upon how much we need, maybe bring up 20 or 30 or 40 gallons at a time. So we drive down to the bottom of the mountain, pump the water out of the river with the bilge pump, and then, you know, put the jugs and the bilge pump back into the truck and drive back up to the top. And then we have, you know, whatever water that we need for the next days. But that water is used for washing dishes. The water is used for taking showers. But drinking water, you know, we'll buy that from, you know, whatever store. You know, we'll buy, you know, the 5 gallon jugs and keep that in one of those ceramic crocks with the little, you know, porch spout on it.
Fascinating, fascinating. We got to go, but it's been really interesting talking to you. You're a pioneering American in 2020. So, Kevin, you got to take us to a break here.
All right, Doug, thanks again. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpet was awarded Best in the Nation in customer satisfaction and installation by Window and Door magazine. They stand behind this, and right now they offer you savings up to $700 on bay and bow windows. Bring some light into your home with these beautiful windows. Call or visit online, TomAdamsWC.com, for no deposit, no money down financing. They also provide free in-home estimates. But hurry, this sale ends July 31st. TomAdamsWC.com.
Home improvement projects on hold? Understandable. But some things just can't wait, like failing windows. Chances are there's water intrusion, possibly mold. Make the most of your money by doing critical projects in phases. Take windows. In phase one, tackle the one or two sides of the house that get the most weather. Phase two can wait till the coronavirus subsides and you have more money. Planning an in-law suite? In phase one, select the contractor and architect and get a design plan. Then in phase two, determine if you need a new septic system and secure permits. Kevin Kennedy's VSP Home Remodeling can help you figure out which projects to tackle now in phases. With VSP, you deal directly with the owner. Kevin and his foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. They do most of the installation and other work. With VSP, you get a licensed company with workers' comp and liability that exceeds the requirement and 30 years of award-winning on-time, on-budget excellence. VSP Home Remodeling. Call 215-364-3286 about those home improvement projects that just can't wait. 215-364-3286.
Now back to Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you have a question about a home project for our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
I want to thank our listeners for coming back for another great horror story we're going to have, because, Ron, as we always talk about, they come in and they come in with vengeance. But it's just, I try to find the best plan of attack on how to educate our listeners. And when you're getting referred to by other customers or people just trying to throw a referral out, Usually, I do not go on Facebook that much, but when I do, I go on a couple of the sites where people are referring other contractors. And again, I'm not here to badmouth any contractor, but when I'm reading some of the referrals that you're getting, and I know some of the contractors, these guys aren't even glorified handyman. And when they're saying they're the best, these guys are unbelievable. And I know them. I personally know them, and they're handyman. And I just, so I, what I'm trying to get is that when I'm, you're referring somebody, make sure you know what you're referring to other prospective clients of our listeners or homeowners, because these are the problems that we're having. I just recently had two call-ins, and these people were telling how they got ripped off. It was two window jobs, and it was a referral by one of these online referral services, and one of them was through Facebook, where somebody was referring somebody, and it wasn't who it was. That's the big thing. And I know we talked about this before. I think it was the brother and sister, and she was referring that he's the best ever to be, and he just started this company a couple months ago, and it doesn't work out that way. So what I'm just trying to educate our consumers is you really need to do a little bit more homework. And that homework would be, we could be glad to go over. You can call me here at the show. I'd love to get you on the air so you can even ask questions so we can educate our other listeners. But the two window jobs that did recently call in said it was a disaster dealing with these people. And it was the high referrals they got from online referral companies. So if you're giving those high-line referral companies...
What kind of window job was it?
They were Vonage replacement windows. And the one she was complaining about was that it was just sloppy workmanship. So when you're doing a window replacement, she said it was a lot of the vinyl siding was disturbed. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. The GA channel around the window, it looked nice when it was before, but now they had disturbed the area. They didn't maintain that area around and tighten back up the GA channel inside that, because they had probably what they did is to get out. It's a new construction window, I told her, with a replacement style. It's a 3.5-inch window, had the nailing flange. So trying to get the window out, and let me guess, they took a Sawzall, tried slicing out between the J channel and the existing window to put the new window in. And when I told her, I said, well, when you do that, here's your problem that you're going to have. That window now is based upon caulk, which means if you don't maintain that caulk, because all that is separating that J channel to the inside is caulk now. Because there's no nailing flange, there's no rubber, there's no foams that are put in. There's a lot of issues that need to get done, and they should have explained that to you. But she said, wasn't really that. We didn't ask about that, which we should now. It was just the sloppy workmanship that they left behind.
Just to be clear, Kev, the vinyl slips into the J channel, correct? That's what keeps it in place at the window, correct? So what they did was saw it all.
Placement.
At the J channel, so nothing can go into the J channel now, correct?
Yeah, there's nothing behind the J channel to protect the water from coming in, but that line of caulk that they put in there, and that's the only difference that you're getting between that. If you explain, and any good window place is going to be able to explain what you're getting. And whether you're very minimal, you're just telling them you're getting a new window, you'll be happy with the job, that's going to be a problem, because you're not explaining to people exactly what they're getting. I find that the good companies will go step by step explaining everything they're doing. And when they don't do that, they're just saying you're going to get a window because somebody referred them. They're taking that leap of faith that it's going to be a good job. And when it turns out it's not, then things start to get worse. And this is one of the problems that they had, they were talking about. And I said, well, listen, you just can't go off a referral. Did you go check the guy's workout? Did you go on HCPA? Because one thing about HCPA that people are noticing that it's me all the time doing, you see these new companies advertising, and it's not a problem. They have all the right to do that. But you see every time, 20 plus years experience, 30 years experience. And then I ask them, how long have you been in business? They'll say 30 years with experience. And then I go into HCPA, and they just got their license 2 months ago for the company. I said, well, how's this working out? Were you another company? Did you change names? Did you get sued? And of course, they don't respond back. But isn't that a little bit of false advertising, trying to lead to people and saying that you're a great company and you're just a brand new company? How do you police that, Ron?
False advertising in essentially every industry today. I mean, it happens. It happens. A lot of people aren't forthright about what they do or what they offer. So,
well, you think about this. When a lot of people do these advertising, I'll give you an example. So the problem, getting back to the referral. When you're referring somebody, a lot of people like to have that, hey, they used my guy. That's what I hear from people that I talk to, but they use my guy and they feel good about it. that's great, but what if the guy's not that good? Don't tell a prospective buyer for windows or siding or a kitchen or bathroom saying how great this guy is if you don't really know. Homeowners are homeowners based upon what the information that they can gather. Contractors, the really good ones, know what they're going to be giving. They know what other competition's doing. And for these people to say, well, you know, he's a really great guy. He's probably one of the best in the industry. No, I wouldn't even let these people do my doghouse. That's how bad the workmanship is compared to mine and every other good contractor that I know. But what I get more upset about is that they're trying to push this guy thinking that he's a very good contractor, and I know their work. I even know jobs. I was about to write on one of them on the Facebook saying I can give the three jobs that I already had no complaints from other customers that used them and were not happy with the workmanship. And I'm not there to badmouth anybody. It's just I want to let people know that if you're going to be referring somebody, make sure that you're referring somebody that really knows what they're doing. Know what you're trying to refer so our listeners understand what they're getting into.
Let me offer another rule of thumb here, too. I mean, if somebody asks you for a referral for a contractor, you're pretty much on shaky ground if they need a referral for a window and this guy did something else for you at some point in time. Maybe, you know, patched something on your house or whatever, or patched your roof, and you're referring them for windows. So I think you have to be careful about what you're referring people for, because the guy may have done a good job for you, but he's out of his element by doing windows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that could be. Just because you're a contractor doesn't mean you know everything. It took me years to figure out how to really perfect this, and I'm still learning after 30 years being in business. So you got to look at a lot of aspects of longevity. If some companies have been around for such a long time, there's a reason why they've been around for such a long time. And it's not just saying 30 years experience, having that same trade name for that bit of time. So listen, if anybody has any questions or concerns, really give me a call at the show. I'd love to get you on the air to talk about your story. And we can really try to minimize anybody having these problems so you really don't follow these situations and be on the show. So Ron, I know we got a great college coming up too also.
Yeah, we do. It's fascinating. We've got Scott Lindner. He's National Sales Director for TD Bank Mortgage, and he's going to be talking about a survey they just did. TD Bank did nationwide about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the real estate market. So stay tuned. This is going to be very interesting stuff.
All right. You're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpet was awarded Best in the Nation in Customer Satisfaction and Installation by Window and Door Magazine. They stand behind this. And right now, they offer you savings up to $700 on bay and bow windows. Bring some light into your home with these beautiful windows. Call or visit online, TomAdamsWC.com, for no deposit, no money down financing. They also provide free in-home estimates. But hurry, this sale ends July 31st. TomAdamsWC.com.
Welcome home. Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
All right, I thank our listeners for coming back for another exciting college of Your Valuable Home here on 1210 WPHT. Ron, I got to give it to you. Almost 7 years, again, being on the air, you always come up with some really great colleges so our listeners can get educated on the current day events. And this one's definitely going to be something that our...
That's what we're all about. That's what we're all about, is education. And in this case, this is very interesting, and I poured through this study. TD Bank recently did it's a national survey to determine the impact of COVID-19, the impact it's having on people's perceptions of their current living spaces and what those perceptions mean to the market for mortgages and refis. So with us to explain and interpret the survey is Scott Lindner. He's National Sales Director for TD Bank Mortgage. Scott, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for doing this.
No, glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay. How many respondents were there? Because it was a national survey, right? How many respondents were there?
We had more than 1,000 U.S. adults respond to the survey. We partner pretty close with one of our research firms to ensure that we have a statistically representative sample of respondents, which allows us then to draw, you know, broader conclusions, you know, from the results to make it much more effective.
Okay, and how was it distributed by region? How were the respondents distributed by region?
Yeah, you know, it was pretty fairly, you know, distributed across the country. About 20% came from each of the Northeast, you know, Midwest, and the West regions. and 40% were representative from across the South.
Okay. And I'm assuming that cities, suburbs, small towns, rural, all those people were represented?
Absolutely. And if you think about it, given the impact for COVID, you know, on some of the urban areas, it was important for us to be able to spread that across both the suburban, which about 40% of the survey was from, 30% from the urban areas, and just about 20% from some of the smaller cities or towns. And then we only had 10% from rural areas. But this allowed us to really to get a better understanding about how people are being impacted and affected by COVID in their particular geographies.
Yeah, in some cases, I guess you ran into situations where the COVID impact was very, very minimal. Like up until recently, Arizona didn't have much. Utah still doesn't have much in the way of COVID. So I'm sure that was a factor in people's perceptions as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how did they segment demographically, millennials versus Gen Xs versus boomers?
You know, our largest sample was millennials, about 40%. And then Gen X and boomers each made up about 30%. And there was very, very few respondents from Gen Z and the silent generation.
Okay. And what was the split, homeowners to renters?
59% of the respondents were homeowners, and about, you know, half of that or more, so about 30% of the overall numbers actually owned their home and had a mortgage. And then there was 26% who were the lucky ones. They owned their home outright with no mortgage or anything else.
Probably boomers, right?
I don't have the breakup that way, but I assume it had people that had enough time to go ahead and make that, you know, 30-year mortgage being paid off. So you're probably right.
Absolutely. And how did they break out, employed versus unemployed? Do you find a lot of unemployed?
Yeah, we actually did, and a little bit more than the average. So it may have been, you know, how the survey was conducted, but we had 64% of the respondents who were employed, and 33% were reported as being unemployed, which does track higher than the national, you know, unemployment rate. What was interesting, though, was that almost a quarter, okay, 22%, of the respondents said that their employment status had been impacted because of the pandemic.
Yeah, I'm sure. And that's probably going to continue, too. So of the people who were still employed, how do they generally feel about working remotely, which probably many of them did and probably still do?
Well, this is interesting because I think personally, you know, I fall into this. I was one of those folks that always wanted to go in the office, felt the water cooler talk and everything else was such a huge benefit that I didn't really want to work from home. But what we're seeing, and this kind of, you know, matches up anecdotally what we're seeing, is that people are getting more and more comfortable working remotely. You know, Americans obviously previously drove to their office. You know, I've been working from home now for more than 5 months. They're kind of getting used to this. What was interesting was that 70% of employed workers said that if their job were to convert to a full-time or part-time remote working situation, that they would actually embrace it. And 26% said they'd actually consider moving to a different location further away from their job if they knew that they can work remotely. And there was only a very small percentage that said that they were really opposed to working remotely, so 3%, and that they said they'd actually find another job if they were forced to work remotely.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because we had a conversation with a family member of my girlfriend's and this weekend. He works in San Francisco. He's the CFO of a company, and he's moving to L.A. and say, okay, what's that all about? He says, well, we can work remotely. So apparently companies are really looking very kindly on, you know, not even being in the same city and letting people work remotely. I think that's a trend that's going to probably continue because people were probably looking at the cost of office space and everything and saying, hey, we can probably do it just as well when people work out of their houses, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think what they're finding, too, is that companies have done a remarkable job, you know, in a very short period of time, moving people out of offices to work remotely and driving the technology solutions to make that actually workable.
Yeah, absolutely. Technology keeps improving all the time and makes it all possible. Did that feeling, the working remotely feeling, skew to any one or two particular demographics? Millennials, I think, would be more apt to do stuff like that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. And if you think about it, right, millennials have grown up in the world of texting, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. They're used to working, you know, through technology. In some cases, even being more effective working through technology than face to face. So they were more than twice as likely than Gen Xers to consider moving to a new location to work remotely. And then renters, of course, were also interested. If you think about it, if a renter's in a situation where they can't afford a home and they're renting because of that, if they can move to a much less expensive area and purchase a home, it could be in their interest to make that move. So we saw renters being very proactive about the opportunity to work remotely and then potentially move to a lower cost area to purchase that house of their dreams.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay. As quarantining causes respondents, I'm talking about specifically about the city dwellers, to want different living quarters?
You know, it's interesting. I would have thought this number to be higher. The respondents in major urban areas, such as New York City, Philadelphia, D.C., while we've seen anecdotally, you know, some folks moving to the suburbs, the survey didn't really push that so hard. It said that basically 10% of city dwellers felt that the quarantine has made them want to move to a different home sooner. And only 5% said they moved to a less populous area. It did show, however, that those folks that were in urban areas really wanted to have larger living spaces, but still stay in the city at some point.
Yeah, that sort of surprises me, too, because, you know, imagine talking to anybody from New York. They had to go down the elevator, I think, one or two people at a time, which would just lengthen your day tremendously, you know. So that surprises me. In what other way or ways has the COVID situation impacted city dwellers?
You know, it's really caused not just city dwellers, but many Americans to sit down and review their finances, including their housing cost. And we found that many city dwellers wanted to reduce their cost of living. They want to spend less on living situations than they do now and trying to find different options in which to do that.
Okay. Of the homeowners in the study, did they use their time in quarantine to do any home improvements?
This is actually pretty interesting. And it's funny to me because every time I speak to somebody on a Zoom conference call, on a WebEx and the like, yeah, there's always conversation about what they're doing around their houses. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here where people were just nesting. Personally, I went to Home Depot looking for deck boards, and the guy laughed at me. He said, yeah, you and everybody else is redoing their deck, so I had to wait 2 weeks for the next shipment of boards to come in. But the what the survey said was that 28% of the respondents were actually doing something to do home improvement around their house. To you know, make it that much more livable. We also had 23% say that they actually created a dedicated home office to support that work from home need on a go forward basis.
Yeah, it's interesting. We just did a segment a couple of weeks ago on pressure treated for decks. Very difficult to get because the mills weren't making it. And they couldn't really, the person we talked to couldn't really pinpoint the reason why, but it still continues, as far as I know, today. So you were right caught up in that. Overall, how many respondents desire a new home? And then we're going to go to a break, and we'll come back and talk some more, but if you can just give us the answer to that one.
Yeah, our survey found that just about 11% of respondents said that they're motivated to move to a different home sooner because of the quarantine. And you have to consider both the internal and external factors that are contributing to that. If you think about it, rates are at an all-time low, which is making mortgage lending much more attainable for folks. And the house becomes affordable because the payment goes down. Someone with a $300,000 mortgage, you know, last year would have had a 4.5% rate, and it's now close to 3%. So the difference in payments for the year is somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000. We're also seeing the housing market and inventory is actually starting to come back on the market. So it got delayed in the February and March period. So we're seeing more houses come on the market, and we have these low interest rates help to drive that. So we're seeing a lot more folks actually being interested in purchasing that home just because of the low rates, the affordability, and now we're starting to see, you know, more houses come back on the market.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, stick with us. Talk more about the impact for the mortgage market and refis after we take a break. Kev, you want to take us to a break?
Oh, yes, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpet was awarded Best in the Nation in Customer Satisfaction and Installation by Window and Door Magazine. They stand behind this. And right now, they offer you savings up to $700 on bay and bow windows. Bring some light into your home with these beautiful windows. Call or visit online, TomAdamsWC.com, for no deposit, no money down financing. They also provide free in-home estimates. But hurry, this sale ends July 31st. TomAdamsWC.com. Home improvement projects on hold? Understandable. But some things just can't wait, like failing windows. Chances are there's water intrusion, possibly mold. Make the most of your money by doing critical projects in phases. Take windows. In phase one, tackle the one or two sides of the house that get the most weather. Phase two can wait till the coronavirus subsides and you have more money. Planning an in-law suite? In phase one, select the contractor and architect and get a design plan. Then in phase two, determine if you need a new septic system and secure permits. Kevin Kennedy's VSP Home Remodeling can help you figure out which projects to tackle now in phases. With VSP, you deal directly with the owner. Kevin and his foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. They do most of the installation and other work. With VSP, you get a licensed company with workers' comp and liability that exceeds the requirement and 30 years of award-winning on-time, on-budget excellence. VSP Home Remodeling. Call 215-364-3286 about those home improvement projects that just can't wait. 215-364-3286.
If you're starting a home project, let Your Valuable Home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
I want to thank everybody for coming back to the second segment of an unbelievable college, really getting a good education about this, and I'm sure you, our listeners, are also too. And Ron, we definitely have some more information to get out to our listeners.
Yes, we're talking to Scott Linder, National Sales Director for TD Bank Mortgage, about a study that TD recently did regarding the COVID-19 impact on mortgages and on the home buying market. So, Scott, what in the bottom line here, what impact is all this information going to have on mortgages?
Well, I think all the information in terms of, you know, from a mortgage perspective, is that we're currently, you know, at record low interest rates, and they're actually getting lower. So you can get a 30-year mortgage right now somewhere around 3%, give or take an eighth. So it makes home buying much more affordable for folks today. And we're seeing a lot more competition right now for, you know, real estate that's coming on the market. There's still a number or subset of individuals that feel reluctant to put their home on the market. They don't want people coming through it. They're concerned about COVID and the impact of, you know, open houses and people they don't know moving through their houses. So in some cases, we're seeing some bidding wars for homes that are out there, just because while inventory is coming on the marketplace, it's not as much to actually meet the need given the low interest rates. What I would suggest, however, for buyers who are looking to make that move and to purchase the house, be prepared. Take the time. Check your credit. Go to freecreditreport.org. Get a copy of your credit report. Make sure that it's correct so you can fix it well in advance of your home search. Start to put all your documents together. Think about bank statements, your W-2s from your last few years, your tax returns from the last few years. And then when you do actually meet with your lender, tell them what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. Don't necessarily, you know, go to some place that's just going to take an order for a 30-year mortgage. While that's the most predominant mortgage that's out there, if you're doing something that's different from somebody else, well, you plan on moving in 5 years. You're retiring. You're going to buy a second home, and you're going to move someplace in 5 years. You may not want a 30-year mortgage. So make sure you're dealing with someone who's a professional, who's consultative, who's really going to learn about what you're trying to accomplish to make sure that they match up the best mortgage with what your needs and your goals and your financial objectives are.
So do you guys operate in across the country, in all states or most states?
So TD? At TD, we operate along the Eastern Seaboard. So any state that covers the Atlantic Ocean on the eastbound side of the country – We're there with the exception of Georgia. We are not a national lender. We tend to want to invest in and lend in the communities in which we bank.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So you expect this, you expect the impact to be there throughout your market area?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good. And what about refis? I would think there'd be a lot of that activity right now too, wouldn't there?
There's a ton of refinance business out there. And once again, this is one of those situations where you want to make sure that you're working closely with your lender about what you're trying to accomplish. Be clear about how long you plan on staying in the home, what your next home purchase may look like if you're planning on buying a second home, et cetera, in the future. They can work with you to help understand what the best mortgage is for, you know, someone's particular needs. A lender can also help them understand, you know, what their costs are, how to minimize those upfront costs to help make it more cost effective for them to move into that refinance and lower their monthly payments.
Well, you know what? Take me as an example. I've got a mortgage. Got about 162 left on it. Rates 3.625, I think. I mean, with closing costs and everything, would it make sense for me to refi now?
You know, it's going to be close, and here's why. With a $162,000 mortgage, you still have title costs, you still have appraisals, right? All of those impact your cost for getting that refinance. We'd really have to sit down and work out the numbers because of the low, mortgage value that you currently have. It may not make sense for you to refinance. Or it could be just a push. The question would be is, do you have a second home, another refinance, or are you looking to take cash out to do anything else right now? And there may be an opportunity there if you needed cash out to help fund a college education or maybe to purchase a second home or do improvements on your current home, it may make sense to do a refinance at that point. 162 at 3.5% with $3,000 or $4,000 in closing cost is going to be on the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. Very interesting. Okay. I thought about it, and your closing costs, I think, would probably be a stumbling block, right? Because you get earn out on it over about a couple of years, right?
Because you want to be able to pay those off. And $3,000 or $4,000, you can do it two ways. You can pay that up front, right, knowing that, hey, your $100 or $200 that you may save on a monthly basis will offset that over the course of a few years. Or you can take a rate where you actually get points back to help offset some of those closing costs.
Okay. All right. So it's something I probably want to look into, right?
Absolutely. Should have someone work the numbers for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But somebody that's I can't imagine somebody would be up around 4 or 5% still these days. But somebody in that situation probably would make out very well with a 3% rate, right?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, we are seeing people come in with 4 or 4.5% rate. That wasn't that long ago. It was only 14, 15, maybe 18 months ago that rates were currently in the 4 and 4.5%. And this is one of those things that people kind of think is one and done. They do their mortgage, they keep on making their monthly payment, and they don't think much about it. Until someone next door says, hey, I refinanced and saved X, and then it triggers that. So there's a number of people out there that still haven't refinanced, and this would be a great opportunity for them to do so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're at 4 or 5%, it's almost a no-brainer, you know?
Then you have a lot of folks with larger loans that don't need that much of a spread to make a big difference in terms of the monthly payment.
Right. So what's your best advice to people today? I mean, obviously, somebody who's got an interest rate like that, you say, well, sit down and let's talk about it, right? But what's your best advice to people today? Should people stretch to get all the house they want because the interest rates are low?
I don't think anyone should stretch for any home purchase. Okay. You want to make sure that given the environment and the uncertainty that you're prepared. That one, from just the process, is make sure you have all your documents, in a row to do that. Don't overextend yourself. Make sure that you've got plenty of cash in reserve that for those things that come up, you have a problem with a roof that has to be replaced, that you can actually afford it. If someone in your family, and if maybe your spouse loses their job, that you've got 6 months of reserves to help make your payments.
to make sure that it's carried over so you don't put yourself in a situation that's beyond your means. So I would never suggest someone stretch to buy a larger house. They should be prepared to make sure that they're comfortable and that they can weather any particular storm that may come up.
Good advice. We got to wrap it, but tell us, how would we find or read this or get our hands on this study that you guys did?
If you Google TD Bank's newsroom, and you'll get right to the TD Bank site, and you'll be able to find the survey right there in TD Bank's newsroom.
Scott Linder from TD Bank and Bank Mortgage, thank you very, very much. It's been fascinating to me. Kevin, I'm sure you learned something through this, too.
Yeah, I'm going to refinance right now. So I appreciate that, Scott, for giving me such great advice and all of our listeners for great advice. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home right here on 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.